plant fire near Houston, brush fires in Los Angeles, Israeli cabinet debating draft peace treaty, Vance leaves Moscow, Carter broadcast coming up on inflation. Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with a CBS World News Roundup. A natural gas pipeline exploded this morning near Pearland, Texas, not far from Houston, and flames roared through a mobile home park. More than 40 people living in the park were injured, several of them seriously. No deaths have been reported. For Susie Mack and for many other residents of Pearland, it was a frightening experience.
I woke up to this horrible noise. The house was shaking and then this eerie yellow light. And when I got up, I thought all of Alvin and maybe Pearland had blown up or something. And we came across the bridge and saw that it was this pipeline over by the trailer park. So about that time, we saw some people coming down the road that were kind of stumbling and everything, and we stopped and picked them up, and they were burned, and we took them out to where we could get some medical help.
Glenn Stanford, the Pearland police chief, says flames from the pipeline reached more than 100 feet into the air. Gas company representatives are now trying to shut the pipeline down. The force of the blast was felt in parts of Houston, 20 miles away. Brush fires are raging through parts of the Los Angeles area this morning, causing enormous damage in many residential areas. Miriam Bier reports the latest.
It's the hot desert wind that pushes the fire ahead, but the flames are fed by the native brush, grown to record height and thickness after last winter's heavy rains. Winds calmed overnight, but they're expected to blow hot and dry again today. When the wind and fires die, the guess is that hundreds of homes may have been lost, though hopes are the human casualties will remain low. But some residents of burned-out areas say they fear losing something else, their commitment to their rustic, though disaster-prone neighborhoods. One of those, Albert Street, lost three houses last night in Malibu.
I built all three houses myself from the foundation on up. And it kind of makes you wonder, at my age, whether you can do that again.
Today, the firefighters will be doing what they did all night again. Miriam Bier, CBS News, Los Angeles.
A fire on the Atlantic City boardwalk destroyed a block of stores before dawn and caused about $2.5 million in damage before being brought under control. No one was injured. Cause of the fire, not known. Secretary of State Vance left Moscow this morning after the latest go-round on a new agreement on limitation of strategic arms. Bernard Redmond has the story in the Soviet capital.
In a departure statement before leaving Moscow, Vance said the talks on a strategic arms limitation agreement were useful and constructive. With Soviet Foreign Minister Andrei Gromyko looking on, Vance added that both sides are committed to the prompt and successful completion of the pact. President Leonid Brezhnev joined the talks toward the end. A treaty has not been concluded, and some differences remain, but moderate progress appears to have been made. What happens next will await Vance's report to the president. Officials here won't say when or whether another top-level meeting will be held. Some sources believe an early political decision by both sides could be made to bring the summit meeting about before the end of the year. Bernard Redmont, CBS News, Moscow.
From Moscow, Vance flew to London for a short conference at the airport with British Foreign Secretary David Owen on events in Southern Africa. Vance is said to be worried about Rhodesia's latest strikes against black nationalist guerrillas in Zambia and Mozambique. The Israeli cabinet today is debating the proposed final draft of a peace treaty with Egypt. Dan Raviv reports from Jerusalem.
Sources in the government say Prime Minister Begin has received a personal message from President Carter, asking Begin to press for approval of the draft treaty. It's not believed that kind of message will have much effect here. First of all, the Israelis already knew the United States favors the compromise draft. Secondly, the ministers who raised the toughest questions in last night's cabinet meeting are known to be concerned that the U.S. is pressuring Israel to make concessions. The Israeli negotiating team of Foreign Minister Dayan and Defense Minister Weizmann sought to reassure the cabinet. It's expected here that the cabinet will send Dayan and Weizmann back to Washington this week with general approval, but with instructions to seek a few revisions. Dan Ravi for CBS News, Jerusalem.
The semi-official Cairo newspaper Al Ahram says President Sadat is urging the United States to make amendments in the draft treaty. In its early editions, Al Ahram described those amendments as basic, but later on the newspaper replaced basic with the softer and vaguer adjective certain, without specifying precisely what changes Sadat may have in mind. U.S. Middle East negotiator Alfred Atherton is meeting with Egyptian officials today in Washington, presumably to discuss the proposed changes. CBS News UN correspondent Richard C. Hauntlett reports that the UN Security Council last night extended the mandate of UNIF, the UN peacekeeping force in the Sinai, for 9 months rather than the 12 months recommended by Secretary General Kurt Waldheim and desired by both Egypt and Israel. The shorter period was approved at the urging of Soviet Russia, which thus made it clear that it still has a role to play in the diplomacy of the Middle East.
For 2 years, Ted Kramer has been both mother and father to his son. And in that time, a very special love has grown between them. But now, they may have to part. Kramer vs. Kramer, the best-selling new paperback novel from Signet. Kramer vs. Kramer. You will read it and never forget what it does to you. Kramer vs. Kramer, soon to be a major motion picture from Columbia.
Reminder, in New York City today, the three-hour alternate side parking regulations are suspended. The final day of the Jewish holiday of Sukkot. The weather story, partly sunny, brisk and breezy, considerably colder than it was. The high only 50 to 55. Generally clear tonight. The low in New York City overnight, 36 to 42. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. A little milder, 58 to 63. This morning in New York, sunny skies, humidity 57%. Winds north-northwest at 11 miles an hour, and it's 36 degrees. At 7.5 minutes past 8 o'clock.
President Carter this evening broadcasts an address to the American people. Subject, inflation, and what the president intends to do about it. Lee Thornton has some advanced details at the White House.
As one administration official puts it, the president's message will be a frank assessment of a frustrating problem and of the unpleasant steps that will be necessary to deal with it. What Mr. Carter is expected to recommend is that voluntary ceilings of 7% be put on wages. The broad principle of deceleration will be applied to non-farm businesses. They will be asked to hold price increases to less than one-half of 1% of their average price increases in the past 2 years. Thus, a company that had a price hike of 5% in 1976-77 would be asked to hold price increases to 4.5%. Though all of that would be voluntary, the president will exert some muscle by using government purchasing contracts as incentives for compliance with the new program. The president is also expected to name a new chief inflation fighter to replace trade negotiator Robert Strauss. With consumer, labor, and environmental groups already rallying against the complex program, one of his first tasks will probably be to get across the meaning of it all to the public. Lee Thornton, CBS News, the White House.
It's reported that as the successor to Strauss as head of the anti-inflation campaign, the president may name Alfred Kahn, now chairman of the Civil Aeronautics Board. Mr. Carter's address will be broadcast over many of the CBS radio network stations at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. A Senate subcommittee in Lexington, Kentucky today presses on with hearings on Senator Edward Kennedy's proposal to ban smoking in many areas of federal buildings and to tax cigarettes. Bob Faugh has details.
When the hearings resume today, tobacco industry witnesses will continue their assault on Senator Kennedy's proposal. We'll argue that taxing cigarettes for tar and nicotine will drive down consumption and destroy the American tobacco industry. We'll insist that segregating smokers and non-smokers in federal buildings is unworkable, and we'll say that proposed stringent new labeling requirements would be an administrative nightmare. Supporters of the Kennedy bill say the industry is overreacting, that in time, tobacco belt farmers could switch to other crops. But yesterday, several witnesses said no other crop would produce as much revenue, and many, like Kentucky Senator Wendell Ford, see the proposals as part of a move to ban smoking altogether.
Abolishing tobacco from the American scene is not the answer to the questions which have been raised. Such an approach is unrealistic and unfair. It is also more than 300 years too late.
So the question now is, when the next Congress considers the proposals, will the economic arguments marshaled against them offset health claims made earlier on their behalf? Bob Faugh, CBS News, Lexington, Kentucky.
President Carter today signs the airline deregulation bill. Richard Roth sums up the main points.
The bill puts the airline regulatory agency out of business by 1985 and between now and then reduces its powers in the interest of promoting competition. Lower fares is one goal of the legislation. The bill allows airlines to cut fares as much as 50% without prior approval from the government. Unregulated fare increases will be limited to 5%. The bill makes it easier for airlines to start service on new routes or stop service on existing unprofitable routes. But it also requires the CAB to make efforts to ensure that small communities and rural areas don't lose all air service. And the Deregulation Act lifts most special rules that now apply only to charter airlines. Just what will happen to fares, to airline overcrowding, and to airport delays will be clearer in time. What should be cleared up immediately is a line of airline representatives who have been standing outside the CAB since last Thursday, waiting to file applications to fly air routes. Those applications will be accepted on a first-come, first-served basis once the president signs the bill. Richard Roth, CBS News, Washington.
The U.S. dollar rallied somewhat today in Tokyo and also strengthened on most of the European exchanges. The latest on that pipeline fire near Houston, at least 6 people dead, 46 injured.